life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Altuve hits a high, deep drive to left field. All the way back, Phil Gosselin near the wall. Looking up, that's gone! Jose Altuve with number 29 on the year. And the Astros with that two-run home run now lead it 5-1. 1-0 pitch. Maldonado sends one high and deep to right field. All the way back to the wall. Leaping, and it's over the wall and gone! Martin Maldonado on back-to-back nights hitting a home run.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Welcome in, everybody. That makes me giggle every time. I love being around them. I love being around them. And we love being around you. Well, on your radio, whatever. We are here, and it is go time. We've got a lot to talk about. Our Astros won again yesterday. Jose Urquidy looked pretty damn good for a while, and then it kind of fell apart on him a little bit in the sixth inning. But other than that, the Astros looking good. You know, I was watching a game yesterday with a buddy. And he posed this question to me: Who are the Astros' best hitters? Rank them. Who's the best hitter on the Houston Astros?
Well, I mean, you know, it's such a. You know what I'm not going to do? You have to define hitter, because I don't want to just eliminate Michael Brantley from the conversation, Mr. Professional Hitter.
He is. History.
But right now, he's not. He's not playing right now. He hasn't been good against lefties. I get all that stuff. So I can't really make him. But I just want to mention him. I want to mention him because I know Kyle Tucker's supposed to be the answer.
Well, see, that
Kyle Tucker's supposed to be the answer.
I think Kyle Tucker is the answer.
He might be the answer. I already know going into this question that Kyle Tucker's the answer. I just think that it deserves more conversation.
Well, and then who would you – I think Kyle Tucker is the best hitter on this team right now. Number two, I had Yordan. How difficult is this?
It's hard. I mean, we
Carlos
can't just...
Correa hitting the way he's hitting. Altuve is Bregman's in this lineup. Yuli's in this lineup. Brantley's in this lineup. And you got to pick. And the two choices, I think, are the two youngest guys that are making $600,000 a year.
Yeah.
Tucker, I mean, and Alvarez.
It's, man, Carlos is having a good season.
He's having a great year.
And in Tuve, you just know he's going to do what he did yesterday, which is hit a home run or hit in the clutch. You know, it's just so we're so inclined to look at what the next thing is that Jose Altuve still to this day. If you say okay, you got to have one game. Do you feel like Tucker's going to come up with a big game in a game seven, or Jose Altuve will?
I don't know that Tucker won't. If you want to know, the
I don't know that he won't either. But what I do know is that Jose Altuve.
When I look at Tucker's 900 OPS, now Altuve's 840, so that ain't so bad. It ain't so bad. But I look at, and I mean, Tucker's OPS is higher than Yordan's. And Yordan
is the same on-base percentage as Jose Altuve, which is impressive. I mean, he's 354.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wealth of riches of the lineup. It is frustrating when sometimes they can just randomly fire up some zeros, ones, and twos over a stretch. But hopefully those stretches are done. You look at the lineup now, and other than Other than Uncle Mike, I mean, you got guys, and then of course Jordan didn't play yesterday, but you've got a lineup full of like.
No, Jordan played yesterday.
You get into Jordan did play. What am I talking about? Yep. Oh, he had a couple walks. You get into a couple of situations where you got to figure out who you want to bring in. Like, but not because it's crappy, because it's really good.
Yeah.
Like, you got to figure out, man, how am I going to we need to get McCormick some ABs.
We need to get Aledmys. We need Siri.
Aledmys Diaz has to get. We've forgotten about Aledmys Diaz. Boom.
Boom.
RBI single. Boom. Home run.
Boom.
I mean, it's easy to. Your question is one that shows how spoiled we are, because our answers, it's hard to come up with. You can come up with an answer, but you got a lot of, well, what about this guy's? What about this guy's? Think about that during the Bagwell-Biggio era. It was either Bagwell or Biggio.
Yeah.
There was nobody else. There was nobody else that you were going to say until Lance Berkman came around,
right.
And you know, started to develop. But
well, you had Jeff Kent, you had Moises Alou, you had.
I guess Alou was a really good hitter. Yeah. I never felt like Kent was the best hitter on the team, but maybe. But this is just totally different.
This is.
I mean, Aledmys Diaz comes in, and Maldonado has a home run too, which that's one of the things he'll do is he'll hit 170. But he hits 170 with a little bit of pop.
He's got 12 homers,
which is kind of rare. Yeah, he's 170 with pop.
Yeah,
And he does have some pop. Unfortunately, the good news was the Astros had four home runs: Jose Altuve, Aledmys Diaz, Maldonado, and Kyle Tucker. And the bad news is Jose Urquidy gave up a couple of home runs, and yesterday gave up in 5 1/3, gave up four earned runs. He had three strikeouts, but.
Listen.
No walks, but he had two home runs. And then, of course, Javier comes in and gives up a almost 450-foot bomb to Shohei Ohtani. So it is. I wanted to see Urquidy have a little stronger performance. I'd love to see Javier pitch well at all. Would be great. I'd love to see him get in a lockdown
mode.
Listen,
if Urquidy gives you five strong with one run, if that's the case, now, you know, you blew it open. If it's a tight game, 3-1, I don't know that Urquidy might not see the sixth inning. Or if he gets in any trouble whatsoever, he's out of there. If as soon as there's runners on base, as soon as Ohtani gets on, he's out. Or Lugaris, or whatever. Whatever happens, he's out of the sixth inning, because you're going to have a pretty deep bullpen. And so I'm not worried at all. I like the way he threw early on. He looked really, really good early on. I mean, you know, Jack Mayfield, but you can't stop a Jack Mayfield from taking you deep.
Can I just tell you that over his last since August 25th, over his last six performances, six outings since August 25th, we're less than a month, in six outings, Christian Javier has given up five home runs. Home run back to back. He's given up a home run in each of his last two games. Once was yesterday, obviously, and then against Arizona, he gave up home runs. He gave up two home runs on September 4th against San Diego, and then right before that, he had given up a home run against Kansas City. He has given up earned runs in five of his last six outings. Christian Javier.
Yeah, he's bad, right?
I mean, you know, you look at the ERA and it says 3.25, and you think, well, that's not that bad. But right now, he is one of the least trustworthy pitchers you have.
Yeah.
He's one of the least trustworthy pitchers. Like, I used to feel great when I'd see Christian Javier.
Not anymore.
I don't feel good when I see Christian Javier.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I think Christian Javier is on the postseason roster. But since his demotion from the starting rotation, Christian Javier has had a problem. And maybe it's that he feels like he shouldn't be in the bullpen. I don't know what I don't want to think for Christian Javier, but since he's gone to the he's a different guy. He's not that same dominant pitcher that we saw. He can't can't throw strikes.
It actually would surprise you, I think, to know that because this kind of surprises me. In July, 14 1/3 with six hits, he gave up four earned runs. He had 19 strikeouts. That's pretty damn good.
How many walks?
10.
Yeah,
and that's one of his problems. Yeah, he gets himself in trouble there. You know, in August, 18 strikeouts and 11 2/3, six walks, which I'll take 3-1 for Javier.
That's not bad.
One home run. His ERA in August was 2.31, way better than I would anticipate it. But he has really, you know, the ERA was 3.24 in September, 10 strikeouts, five walks to 8 1/3. seven hits. It has not been as good since September hit. And here's the concern is that, you know, we're assuming he's on the playoff roster. But right now, if you have, you know, would you rather have Odorizzi or Javier? And I know there's some recency bias that we have to guard against. Odorizzi or Javier in the bullpen?
Odorizzi.
I might also.
You can't trust Javier, also. Especially coming in with anybody on base.
Well, Javier has stuff, but I don't think he's really developed into a pitcher. Odorizzi is a pitcher who just, you know, he needs his stuff to be good and his placement to be good. But he's more likely, I think, to hit a spot than right now than Christian Javier is, who's just kind of lost his control. And then you have, you know, Greinke and Urquidy. I think Greinke's going to be the starter, I think. I think he'll be in the rotation. But that means Urquidy will bump into a number five starter if needed, and then a long bullpen role. Well, if you have Urquidy and if Odorizzi makes it, I mean, Christian Javier, I don't know that he has a role in the opening series.
Yeah. No, I don't. Christian Javier is a guy who could
be pitching himself out.
He can be left off the postseason roster. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And he's more likely than Greinke to be kept off, if you want to know the truth. Greinke is probable as a probable starter in game four, which means either Urquidy or Luis Garcia go to the bullpen. Would you rather have Odorizzi, Urquidy, or Garcia in the bullpen as opposed to Christian Javier? Absolutely. Any three of those.
Well, here's the guy who's not being kicked out of inner rotations. It's actually the opposite. David Culley yesterday officially named his starting quarterback for Thursday night.
Davis will start the game. You know, Tyrod will not play.
Okay. And speaking of Tyrod Taylor.
I like to be around him.
Yeah, speaking of Tyrod Taylor, you might wonder, when is Tyrod Taylor going to be back?
I'm not sure what the timetable is right now.
But it's a month.
There you go.
But it's a month. He's on the IR, so he's going to miss at least 3 weeks. So.
And what you're dealing with here is, now, this is actually what we want to see. May not be what you want to see based on how Tyrod Taylor was playing, but it really is what the Texans need to see. The silver lining here is that Davis Mills is going to get to prepare like a starter earlier in the season while you are scouting. When you have scouts on the road looking at Sam Howell in North Carolina, at Malik Willis at Liberty, while you have them, Spencer Rattler. When you have guys looking at quarterbacks right now, and they'll be looking at all of them, you'll be doing that concurrently with Davis Mills preparing and playing against NFL defenses. So you actually are going to get an earlier look at Davis Mills than maybe the timetable we expected, which we thought it might be more like late in the season, week 10, week 11, finish it up there. No, instead, you're going to get a good, strong look from Davis Mills. And what's going to happen is either Davis Mills is going to play well, and Tyrod Taylor will have happen what has had happen his entire career, which is he gets hurt, somebody comes in, he doesn't get back in. Or Davis Mills will not play all that well, and Tyrod Taylor will come back. Regardless, the Texans are going to get a sample size of half a game last game, and they're going to get 3 to 4 starts minimum from Davis Mills. And that's going to be a decent look at what they have, you know, I think the way this sets up, John, I think they will have some, as much as you can have definitive answers for a rookie quarterback, I think they will have some answers about Davis Mills that will allow them to go into the draft with a little more confident game plan with what they're doing at quarterback.
So his three starts are very possibly.
They're tough. They're challenging.
The Panthers, which has wonderful defense. The Bills, we know that defense. The Patriots, we know Bill O'Brien against a young quarterback and what that can mean. And then the Colts. Let's say he starts 4 games. And if he starts more, it's the Cardinals and the Rams after that. Good luck with that. So this is, while you're right, I certainly wish it was later. It might have been a better indicator of what the kid can do. If he was later in the season, had more time to prepare, doesn't have just 3 days to get ready for his first NFL start. Last week, he had minimal reps with the first team, so he's getting his first reps today.
I like being around him.
What reps is he getting today? Today's walkthrough. So
that was the problem. Yeah. Short week. I mean, short week means short reps.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, I know that this is his. And you know what? Listen, I've said that Jake Myers, they throw him out there. He looks great. Guess what? He got his chance, and he's made the most of it. And now you're talking about him starting on a postseason roster for one of the best teams in baseball. Davis Mills, I know it's hard, but guess what? You got to step up. That's all there is to it.
Well, when we come back, Jake DeLome is we had some sound bites from Jake DeLome. Jake DeLome joined the Wheelhouse yesterday, former Panthers quarterback, and spent a little cup of coffee here in Houston as well. And he had some thoughts on this matchup that you're going to want to hear. But, you know, you've got this game. What's the line on this one?
It's 7.5.
Someone from 7 to 7.5.
7.
Okay.
I'm not.
You can buy
half points. Maybe an indicator of which way I'm going on this one. I just don't like the spot. I don't like being around it. But here's the deal is if you're looking to bet on this game, if you're looking to bet on any game, go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. At promo code BET975, they will double your initial deposit up to $1,000. Let me put that another way. They will double your initial deposit up to $1,000. Maybe that's the same way, I guess. But here's the deal. If you're looking for a great way to play, win, get paid, this is the place to go. They are awesome. It's an awesome website. It's an easy to monitor website. It's an easy to navigate. If you're looking for a great way to play and have fun and get paid, there's one place to go, and that's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. 718 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, Tim Kelly's been pretty good this year. Tim Kelly was pretty good last year. As soon as Bill O'Brien left, Tim Kelly had Deshaun Watson playing his best football.
Last week I talked about Tim Kelly. Yeah, what about last year when Bill O'Brien was holding him back? I'm like, well, I mean, the reality is Deshaun Watson had his biggest year of his season, of his career, the biggest season of his career under Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly was doing
12 games that Bill O'Brien wasn't there.
Yeah, Tim Kelly was doing most of the play calling.
Yeah.
The big issue was the year before when O'Brien was coming in and screwing up the here's what would happen. Tim Kelly would work with Deshaun Watson throughout the week, and then O'Brien would come in on Friday and try to change a bunch of stuff. I know that for a fact from Watson's camp. O'Brien would come in and change stuff, and he and Tim Kelly were like, what the hell? We just got all this stuff. We've been working on stuff in practice. And then O'Brien would change certain types of checks that were already installed. And so when Deshaun made the old check that he and Tim Kelly had, Bill O'Brien would be pissed off, and they're like, this is the check we worked on. No, we never do that. And they're like, why do I have two game plans right now and two different play calls and two different terminals?
Why are we 0-4?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. But anyway, Tim Kelly's done a nice job. Jake DeLome expects Tim Kelly to do some good things with Davis Mills.
You would assume in meetings is what they tell in Davis. Hey, listen, try to get it to Brandon when you can. We'll use our tight ends. We'll get some quick throws for you. We'll do a lot of shifts and motions. And that's where I think he's going to have to be kind of really good. Because one thing I think Coach Kelly has done is a lot of motions with the tight end, moving them in and out, multiple in his formations, that he's done a good job the first couple of weeks of the season. So I'm anxious to see how much of a carryover that can go with Davis Mills into this game.
You know, he makes a very good point. I think Tim Kelly, one of the things that has to happen is you may or may not see more tight ends used as pass catchers, but it is one of the easiest ways to, you know, if you think about it, it's one of the ways that they got Phillip Rivers integrated into the offense quickly in Chargers was Antonio Gates. Well, that's not true, actually. Antonio Gates came well after Phillip Rivers. But it is true for Troy Aikman with Jay Novacek. That was very quickly a safety blanket that developed early on. I think
it happens a lot with young quarterbacks.
It happens a lot. Yeah. Young quarterbacks, when you have a quality tight end, you don't even have to have a quality tight end. I think you just have to have somebody who's got size and who is reliable. And I think what we're going to see is the tight end position be used. I mean, I think he made a good point there. Quick throws and throws in the middle of the field to the tight end, short, that is something that you can do to get rid of the ball quickly. And but the flip side of that coin is that Phil Snow, the defense coordinator for Carolina, you don't think he knows all this? You think he just started football this year? No.
Yeah.
He knows what young quarterbacks like to do. He knows what the safe throws are. So what you're doing is you got to play this chess match where you're anticipating what your move is going to be and then what the other guy's move is going to be. And so Tim Kelly is what he's. I mean, he can do all those things Jake Delhomme just talked about, but he's got to do other. He's got to do things that keep Phil Snow, the defensive coordinator, guessing. Or what they're going to do is just push everything outside the numbers and say, "Okay, Davis Mills, we're gonna gamble on you trying to beat us outside with timing throws." And when that happens, that's when you get pick sixes. When the timing's off a little bit, or you're a little slow to make a read. So this is going to be quite a good. This is going to be quite a chess match between Tim Kelly, the offense coordinator, and Dave and Phil Snow, the defensive coordinator. And Tim Kelly is. And with that said, somehow they got to try to run the ball again, and they got to try to run the ball. And it was interesting because David Culley said they're not really changing the playbook. He said they're going to do what they do, which includes zone read stuff and some of the looks that they have.
Yeah, Smills is not unathletic.
No, he's not. Well. He's not. I wouldn't call him a. He's got some functional mobility. I would not call him a plus runner.
No.
But you don't really have to. Like, he's not Daniel Jones who can run away from a defense. But he, you know, that backside. I'll give you an example in college, what I'm seeing right now. C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. You want to know why Ohio State is not as good this year? They have a quarterback who refuses to run. On every zone read, it's a handoff. He's like, I'm not running. I'm not running.
Well, he's got a shoulder problem too, though.
Yeah, he did, but this has been all year long.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to show that. Like, I saw Matt Ryan had a zone read touchdown this weekend against Tampa Bay. He had a zone read around the goal line.
Yeah,
you just
but
have
nobody
to show
expects
it.
That, though.
That's why it works so
right,
well.
Yeah.
You have to show it from time to time.
Yeah.
And he can. Davis Mills runs better than Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
You can show it from time to time.
You run better than Matt Ryan in a boot.
Maybe. With the knee scooter.
Well, he...
With a knee scooter, I can.
So, can we show Twitch your knee scooter?
No.
Can we just
assume it's there?
Does Lance or does he not scoot into the show? And the answer is he does.
Let me tell you something.
I'm thinking about going to buy a little bell for him.
Crutches. Oh, I want to play it. I want a basket. I told my wife that we're supposed to go to Old 97s in Austin this weekend. I got my cast cut off yesterday because who needs a cast on a high ankle sprain? That was another nightmare of a situation. But anyway, I'm back in the boot, back where familiar territory. And I got that. I didn't realize how much crutches sucked. I'd never been on crutches in my entire life. Crutches are terrible. I got that little knee scooter. I'm like, beep, beep, excuse me, guys. Beep, beep, bing, bing, excuse me. Zoom. My wife hates it. Like, you are not. I said, I'm bringing that to the Old 97s concert.
Oh, yeah.
You are not. Yeah, I'm going to get through the crowd. Excuse me, coming through, guys.
Oh, I'm buying. I'm going to Academy today, and I'm buying you a bell and a horn.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best.
And it's going to be pink with ribbons coming off of it.
How is she going to get with Rhett Miller with you scooting around on your
knees? With Rhett Miller. I hope Rhett Miller is ready to finance that traveling lifestyle of hers. He's ready to finance some colleges.
Okay, really? Because it's all she wants to do is walk everywhere. What are you talking about?
Yeah, how do you get there?
You know what my wife likes to do? Go to New York and go to Gucci stores.
Well,
that's your wife likes to walk around in the mountains. How awesome is that?
Who's the president of a TV network who's a stay-at-home mom? Start doing the math on that sucker.
Well, yeah. No. But listen, if you spend more than you make, you're still losing, okay? It's still a loss. Okay,
yeah.
Not that she does. Devin is here. What's going on, Devin? Devin, how are you?
None of your business.
Hello?
There he is. What's up, Devin?
Dang. I was going to talk about the Texans.
Okay.
And, oh, man. I told the guy on the radio that I wanted to go as Bill O'Brien and do some impressions.
No. Listen. Let's don't hang up. Yeah. I can already sense the fear and the nervousness in your voice.
All right.
We're going to get – now, Devin, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a business owner.
Okay, good.
On some properties, yeah.
Okay, good. Now, you have a Bill O'Brien imitation?
Yeah, but, I mean, like, he went by my name, and I was like, oh, I told him he'd call me by Bill O'Brien. So.
See, Aaron is just Aaron's a fuddy-duddy about that stuff.
Aaron, he wants to be Bill O'Brien. Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Halloween's coming up. He can get the butt shit and the Texans pull over
everything. Bill O'Brien? This guy sounds like Bill. Coach, is that you?
Coach. Hey, Coach, how you doing? Bill O'Brien is here. What's going on, Coach?
All right, here we go. Hey, Lance.
Yeah.
Lance, I heard what you talked about me yesterday.
Yeah?
Hey, what's the problem? Huh?
Well,
you got a problem with me? I'm out of your life.
No, I know, Coach. It's just that I remember. It's like I have, you know, nightmares. I've just got some excess baggage because of you.
You suck, too. Hey, listen. Do you not know what I'm doing at Alabama? Huh? You know what I did after two games?
Yeah. You broke a 22 game.
How did Coach Culley do after two games? And how did I do after two games?
No, that's
as a Texan coach.
Yeah, that's fair, Coach. That's fair. But you also broke a 22 game streak where Alabama had 400 yards of total offense. You broke that streak.
You suck too.
You suck too, Coach. You suck too, Coach.
Hey, you know? No. Listen.
Yeah.
You know what I would have done in this situation? I would have went to Deshaun's house, and I would have told him to come and play. All right? Hey, listen. Okay?
Yeah, Coach.
All right. Yeah. Hey, wait. Hold on.
Oh, no, go ahead. Wait, is this Devin or Coach right now?
Who are you now?
Is Coach?
This is Coach.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Coach. Go ahead, Coach.
Okay. Crap, I'm blinking now.
Yeah, that's enough.
That's enough. We got to shut that down.
That was a valiant effort.
That was...
He was channeling them for a while. Listen, it's not easy to come on the radio and do imitations. That's not easy. It's hard.
It's not, but listen.
It's hard.
Clint.
And especially...
Clint. All right, Clint. You come on and do your imitation, Clint.
No one's coked up from the strip club. Stop saying that. This guy was just had an... He wanted to get off of Bill O'Brien, and he's got screwed up because, Aaron, you screwed him up. He wanted to come on as Bill O'Brien, and then he had his cover blown.
David says, weekly segment with this Bill O'Brien.
That Bill O'Brien is really good.
You know what?
I don't know why you are hating on him.
Hey, Devin, we're going to make this a weekly thing, okay?
This is it. It's either the worst impression or the best. I'm not sure. Now, this is where John and I...
Train wreck radio.
I'm just going to be honest with you. Aaron, I think from your point of view, coming from the Blitz, you think that's the worst radio. John and I, from our years of doing radio, I wouldn't go so far as to say the worst. I would say
sometimes it's the best because it's so bad.
But see, there's a problem is when somebody's that bad, you also need to rein in their leash and then you guys take the funny, not let them just
No.
We can't take that about this.
Yeah, we can't take that.
We've been having bad radio for 20 some years there.
I know. I've been listening.
Okay.
No, sometimes you got to let the leash out. You got to let it out. See what happens.
Simmer. You got to let it see what percolates a little bit. Okay. That's where comedy genius comes from. Okay.
You wouldn't have got this at the end. Oh,
Devin
crap.
Is quite possibly comedy genius.
Devin is. That was. Mm-hmm. Devin, next time just call in and just say your name is Bill.
Bill.
Okay. No one will be able to. And you'll be able to stay in character. I know what it's like trying to be. You got to stay in character. Yeah. It's not easy to go between characters. And Devin had to go between Devin and then when he channels his Bill O'Brien.
Right. Right, and then when he says, "Oh crap, I don't have anything," that's a good. Look,
this guy
says,
an
indicator you're going to have to work
Aaron
on your
is wrong.
Material.
You have to let Picasso paint. Let Devin do his magic. Let Picasso paint.
Somebody texted in the text line and said, "I feel like that was just a make a wish kid that you had on."
No, that's not accurate.
Make a wish. I don't know that he's a business owner per se, but okay. Let's talk right now about, I know who is a business owner, and that's my man, Patrick Chastang over Chastang Ford. Going to see him tomorrow, as a matter of fact, going to go hang out over there. I can't tell you how much I like these people. I like being around them. I like everything about them. I do. And here's the deal is you will too. You'll be part of the Chastang family. That is one of their, that's been one of their taglines forever. If you're looking for a great way to get into the car that you want, you need, customized perfectly for you with just what you want on it, not add-ons that the other that the dealership has to put on there because they have to make so much money. That ain't the way they go about it at Chastang Ford. They just don't, and they haven't been doing that forever. They've been in the car business of Chastangs for 80-some years. I don't know what the number is, but it's just ridiculous how long they've been doing in the car business, and they do it because they do it the right way. They're the number one commercial dealer because they do it the right way. You will love the deal with them, and they're going to be the number one retailer as well, retail business, because they do it the right way. They're going to be bigger and better than ever, and they're doing it the right way. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, go to ChastangFord.com. You can do it all online, or you can get to the dealership at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's Chastang Ford.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Hey, guys, and don't miss out on CarsForKids.org. That's CarsForKids.org. Chance for you to do something great for a young person who maybe is not great at institutional, traditional learning. Maybe they have some different, speed bumps in their way, and what the Houston Can Academy does through working with Cars for Kids is they help to remove some of those speed bumps so they have a chance to gain that diploma. What you do to help is donate your car, your truck, your RV, or rather SUV, whether it's running or not running, it doesn't matter. They can do title searches and transfers as well. So basically what I'm telling you is they do all the heavy lifting. Here's what you get out of it. A $50 gift card, a Visa gift card, when you mentioned you heard about it from ESPN 97.5, and you're going to get a tax write-off. So you can write off the car and not the kid. Come tax time, use that tax write-off, and they're hauling stuff off of your property. Can you imagine finally getting rid of that car that doesn't even run anymore? That's something that they can do that can help a kid who is in need from an educational standpoint. Go to carsforkids.org. That's carsforkids.org.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 736 on ESPN 97.5. Story came out. Steve Stricker was asked about leaving Patrick Reed off of the Ryder Cup team. And he said it's kind of you lose sleep over that one. Tremendous competitor. He brings a lot of match play golf. Two match play golf. His recent record at Ryder Cup is pretty darn good. It was a difficult call. It was just the uncertainty of his health and really the lack of play that led to our decision down the stretch. I've seen Patrick Reed a couple of times out of Carlton Woods. As a matter of fact, I just saw him the other day, and I'm hoping we're going to get him on tomorrow. I'm trying to lock that down to talk about it. He said he, you know what, any comments he makes, it seems to create quite the stir. So I'm not sure, you know what, I'm not sure whether or not he really wants to do any interviews. But he's disappointed that he wasn't. But he also said when he first got back, he almost died. He had so many internal problems that the doctor said if you didn't go to the hospital, you likely could have died. It would not have been long before you died.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in a bad way. So he missed out on the playoffs and finally got back. He was so good this year that he didn't have to he missed two tournaments and still made it to the to Atlanta to play for the Tour Championship.
Almost died.
Almost died, yeah. So hopefully we'll get him on and he can talk about it. You know, he obviously is he's had his issues with other players and he's had his controversies and everything else. But the one that is really front and center and getting so much attention is Koepka and DeChambeau this week. And DeChambeau, there's a picture of the two of them. There's video of them talking to each other on the driving range. And apparently the two of them are getting along pretty well. They had dinner together Monday night. DeChambeau said, I think there's something fun coming up here moving forward, but I won't speak too much more on that. They've got some kind of collaboration that they're doing, maybe some kind of T-shirt with the two of them on or something. I don't know, whatever the case may be, whatever it's going to be. But actually, if I would pair them, I would pair the two of them together for the, yes. No, actually, I would love to see the two of them together competing, you know, putting everything behind them. The two of them are such good golfers. They're so dominating, such dominating personalities and players that I think it would be.
It's in the U.S.
Yeah, it's great.
No, but that's a problem, though, because the people who are going to be there are going to be yelling stuff out. I mean,
and you're going to be yelling stuff encouragingly. Listen, the last time DeChambeau played, there was none of that going on. There was none of that going on.
And especially, I would be concerned about them yelling, you know, swing on him, Brooksy. Like stuff like that. That's not positive.
No. But the U.S. crowd is so behind your team. I think
it's Ryder Cup.
I think that they would be so behind that. I think they'd have the biggest roars, if you want to know the truth.
I'll bet you they don't get paired, though.
No. Well,
they've had so much beef over the last year that I'll bet you they don't pair them together.
I don't know that. I don't know that. I wouldn't be surprised at all if on Saturday he paired the two of them together and in a – which would just – bring a big lift to the team. I think it would be a big emotional lift for the team. A team that, you know, has had its issues, you know, coming together as a team. That's one of the reasons that, hey, the Europeans have won 7 of the last 9 Ryder Cups because they just play together better. They just play better together. They're not better golfers. They just play better together. And I think that kind of thing would be a real boost to the American team. We'll see. We'll see whether or not he does it. But so he hasn't given an indication yet.
If they say they buried the hatch and everything, like, I feel like this all stemmed from Koepka gets annoyed by DeChambeau's, like, performance on the course and the fact that he wears the metal spikes and all that stuff. They say they buried the hatchet off the course, but once they actually get on a hole and start playing together, do you not have a feeling that maybe there might be a spark that all of a sudden makes them go, God, I hate this guy.
No,
I hate the way he plays.
I think it would be the opposite.
I like him off
now
the course.
He's my teammate. Now I'm rooting for him. Now we're paired together. I think it would be just the opposite. They'd be rooting for each other as hard as they possibly could. Absolutely.
Well, you just think they're just going to bury what appears to be a pretty big hatchet.
Well, they already are. They've had dinner. He said we've had a few dinners together. No, we've had a few dinners together, and they're actually collaborating on some kind of thing today.
Yeah,
together.
I don't think it's. I don't think they will be a distraction necessarily. I do think the fans, depending on the fans, and I don't know what the fans are like over there, but I do think that gives you an opportunity.
If they're from Wisconsin, they can't be nicer people.
Well, do you think only people from Wisconsin go?
Yeah, it's going
to
be. Well,
you're not. You and your friends aren't nice people, and y'all have been to the Masters.
Yeah, but you know what? When those two walked up together on that first tee, I'll tell you what, the crowd will go nuts. Go nuts. I'm telling you.
What if they faced off against each other like the Canelo thing yesterday, and they start punching each other?
Well, that would be even better.
Yeah.
That would be like a Devin call.
That's what I mean.
Best ratings in golf history.
That would be awesome. Are you kidding me?
It's like with Gilbert. There's a fine line between bad and good.
Right. There's
like,
you can
straddle that line, and actually what some person's like, well, one person would say, ooh, Tampa Bay Bucks uniforms when they first started are ugly. Another person would say, they were incredible.
Yeah.
Ooh, the Vancouver Canucks jerseys from the 90s were great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no, no. I get it.
If you like the train wreck.
Yeah.
I am a guy who doesn't mind the train wreck.
Oh, I love a train
wreck. When Devin calls in, like, when I could hear him being flustered,
well,
I was fearful he was going
to
hang
up.
Well,
he took about 5 seconds to just talk.
And I was fearful he was going to hang up because he's getting too nervous. Like, don't hang up, Devin. We want to walk you through this.
No.
Get to your impression. Let's do this, okay?
Devin. All right, Devin. I know you're on the ledge.
Yeah.
Listen.
Hey, buddy.
Think about it, pal. Think about what you're doing now, okay? Don't jump. 742 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hopefully we'll get Patrick Reed on, get his thoughts on all of that tomorrow right here on the show, which we're working on. Anyway, so why don't you right now talk about your – how about our peeps over at Texas Star Grill Shop?
Oh, man. I love Texas Star Grill Shop. I love Rick and Michelle. I love the company that they have, and I'm pulling that up for you right now because they've got a big fall sale going on right now. They've got They are sponsors, proud sponsors of the Houston Texans, by the way. They have the best grills at the best price. You can go find, for a long time, they've had different Traegers will pop up in a Costco or one of those big box stores. And yet, when you go and look at the actual price and you look at the assembly and delivery, you add everything in, nobody beats Texas Star Grill Shop. They're the number one. I mean, they've been the number one dealer for Traegers for years and years and years. They've got four locations here in the Houston area. When you stop in, they help you find a grill that's right for you. Maybe it is a Traeger. Maybe it's Pits and Spits. Maybe it's Green Mountain. Maybe you are somebody who wants the latest Weber gas grill or a Kamado Joe or the big green egg, you know, a ceramic cooker. They have so many different grills to choose from. But just know this, they are high-quality, durable grills, and you are going to get performance like you have never seen before. If you haven't been in to check out a grill lately, you really have to stop by. And while you're there, take a look at some of the best rubs and marinades and accessories that you can possibly find. TexasStarGrillShop.com. Take advantage of this great fall sale going on right now. TexasStarGrillShop.com.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the Bench. Go Sabercats.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, 746, yes. But what about our cold front this morning?
It was nice. I called my wife who was running, and I was like, hey, did you? It was 75.
It was like freezing out.
Supposedly.
This is the worst time of the year.
75. I told my wife, I said, hey, it's cooler. That was nice, wasn't it? She goes, it's still humid out here. Doesn't feel that great. I'm like, okay. Well, see you later.
Good talking to you.
See you later.
Trying to bring a little sunshine to your life.
But it is supposed to be high 50s, low 60s when you wake up in the morning the next couple days. Yeah, it's nice. It's going to be in the 80s. It's supposed to be below 90s. I know it never works out that way.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be below 90s for a little run here.
I know. I hate that.
Because
it just means that cold weather is coming and it just blows.
Oh, yeah. Freezing
and,
cold.
Yeah, 5 o'clock, it'll be dark. Congratulations, stupid. It's the dumbest
thing
ever.
Stupid sun. Lunar cycle.
Turn the clock back. It's stupid. It's just dumb.
Well, get
daylight savings time. No, we're not. We're not saving.
Come
actually,
on, Twitter,
we're ruining it.
Twitter can cancel so many things, but they keep this going. What? They can't get something viral going, some hashtag going to stop daylight savings.
I know, right? Dumb.
You can't stop. Now, I do like falling back.
Yeah, I do like
I'm going to tell you. I like the idea of falling back where I sleep more.
Well, it's getting an
like
hour of sleep.
Springing forward
stop
is the worst.
All right, let me ask you this question, okay? So Kyler Murray wins NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Derrick Henry wins AFC Offensive Player of the Week over Lamar Jackson. I don't know. Derrick Henry had a nice game. That's all fine and good. Lamar Jackson beat the Chiefs, okay? So they had a discussion this morning on the guys before us, Keyshawn and Jay Will and Max. It was a pretty good discussion, actually. And I've asked you this more than a few times. Throw everybody in the NFL in the hopper. Take out Patrick Mahomes. Can't have him. Who's the first guy you start a franchise with?
It's got to be a quarterback. I'm not. It's not Lamar for me.
Well, your choices would be you. It still could be Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
it
Josh Allen. You said start a franchise. My three start a franchise. Lamar would be one of the three.
Yeah,
I think. I know you're getting that, and he's playing pretty well, and I want to see it continue, but Kyler Murray is the guy.
But I would take Josh Allen first.
Yeah, I would too. I would go, it would be, Josh Allen would be first, because he's built, he's got the cam frame, he's got the big arm to go vertical, he's got the ability to withstand punishment, although they don't run him as much as Carolina ran Cam for all those years, but there's the same concern for him eventually that it is for Cam.
Absolutely.
But I would say
He's not very accurate, though. He still has that.
I would say Josh Allen first. I don't think Daniel Jones. No, I can't go Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones?
Can't go Daniel Jones.
Did you just say Daniel Jones?
Here's who I would throw in the hopper. I'll just throw in the names. I'm going to throw in Herbert in there. We'll throw in Baker. Baker's not going to be the pick, but I'm going to throw him in. Lamar Jackson gets thrown in. Josh Allen.
Where
do I get to throw Deshaun in?
Deshaun. Lance.
Okay, I'm throwing Deshaun in there.
and Dak Prescott gets thrown in. I'm throwing in. Do I throw in Matt Stafford? He's too old to start a franchise.
He's too old.
Yeah, and then
I would do Aaron Rodgers certainly before that.
I mean, but he's old too.
Yeah, no.
I think he's going
to
retire.
Brady says he's playing until he's 50. So
I'm not going to throw Brady in to start it. I'm going to say good young quarterbacks. I think Trey Lance could be thrown in there, but not yet. Russell Wilson still
he's got to be going on 30 now.
He's still available though, right?
Yeah. Well,
he came in the league like in about around 11-ish, 12-ish.
He's got to be 30-something years old, right?
He was an older player then.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's
age. He did 5 years of college.
He's 32. Well, yeah, but 32 for a quarterback's not old.
No, it's not that.
You can go get 6 more years out of Russell for sure.
I would take a bunch of guys before him, though.
Now, I think I go Josh Allen. And then you know what? I think I go Kyler Murray right now. Because there's been stuff that I haven't liked about Kyler Murray. But year three is always kind of a truth-telling year about a player. And he has looked really good so far. So my guess is maybe Kyler Murray gets the nod from me. I don't see him as a player. You know, I worry about Lamar getting hit big and getting hurt. I don't really worry about it with Kyler because he's got that Russell Wilson wiggle and slide. He's got the baseball background where he knows how to slide. He doesn't get teed up in short area spaces. And he's able to escape very, very quickly. He's got elite short area acceleration. And he's got a really plus arm. I'd say Josh Allen and Kyler Murray.
Josh Allen, Kyler Murray. I agree. That's the order I take.
I'd probably Russell. I'd probably go Russell Wilson after that. Probably Russell Wilson after that.
713-780-3776. Will wants to get in here talk about his Astros, who won again last night. And, oh, by the way, are just 2.5 games behind Tampa. And they've got 3 games ahead, 3 games with Tampa down the stretch. So this ain't over yet. We've been assuming that it's going to be Astros and White Sox. I'm not so sure. Will, what's up?
Hey, good morning, y'all. Big fan of the show, longtime listener. So, yeah, just want to talk a little bit of Astros. Obviously, solid win last night for them. I think they're really rolling at the right time. So I wanted to get your thoughts on what our realistic expectations should be of this team once we enter the postseason. I mean, I'm thinking we probably end up playing the Rays in the ALCS, and then, of course, at that point, all bets are off. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And then also, what I need from Lance is I need him to get with Tony the Hatchet Man because I need some advice for this upcoming weekend.
All right.
Well, we also have RJ Bell coming up at 9:30, and AJ's like, you need to ask him where all the smart sharp money's going because he knows from a money line standpoint. If you want to know where the sharps are,
yeah,
RJ knows because I want to know. Yeah, I do want to know where the sharps are. I think realistically, John, the Astros are realistically competing for a World Series. I mean, there's no reason. And Will, you referenced it kind of right. Right now, the Astros are of all the teams. It feels like the Astros might be, I don't want to say peaking, but playing on the plus side of their baseball ability. They're killing it right now with their sticks.
Yeah.
They're killing it right now with their sticks.
It doesn't matter what lineup he throws out there.
We know
amazing.
They have a deep starting rotation. They just don't have one ace. Okay. Yeah, that's a concern. That's a concern when you get into it. We know the bullpen, Dusty's going to have to figure out who the right guys are, and you're going to have to help you catch a little bit of lightning in a bottle with some of the bullpen guys. But from a lineup standpoint, John, Kyle Tucker, Jake Myers, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, Carlos Correa. Spot the slappy hitter, or the guy who's not getting some good.
The
looks
only one, the only hole you got in the lineup is Maldonado. That's it. That's the only hole.
Mm-hmm.
Even with center field, with a young guy that's going to be out there, whoever that young guy is, he still has come up with big hits for this team this season, and come up with clutch late hits. We've seen Myers do it. We've seen McCormick do it. We've even seen Siri do it. So, I mean, no matter who that guy is in center field, you got a pretty good one in the eight hole. That's the eight hole. So when you're looking at that, you're pretty damn good. And, oh, by the way, the White Sox are hurting. Carlos Rodon, he's got a start on September 29th. So apparently the plan is for Rodon to take the hill on September 29th.
You know what I'm hoping
That'll
for?
Be the first time that you'll see
you
him.
You know what I'm hoping for? Setback.
Yeah.
I my entire life, I will gladly and willingly and openly hope that players that are going to play against my team are not healthy. From abscessed teeth to, you know, I don't want anyone's career to end, but it can detour.
Hey, listen, if Rodon isn't healthy, it's okay. It's Lance Lynn, Lucas Giolito, and Dallas Keuchel. I ain't scared of that. Rodon looked really good against the Astros last time he pitched against them. Lance Lynn is he's a hoss, and he's going to be awfully difficult. You know,
that is
like
the
I
one
said. Carlos has said that's the toughest guy.
The Rays are, you know, a really good team, really good team. But one of their best young pitchers is not pitching. Yeah. Do you have the White Sox? Well, what scares you with the White Sox is they just have really good pitching. Like you could see them, they've got Astros type shutdown pitching. Even though Verlander was never really, he'd shut you down throughout the year. But then in the postseason, you know, on paper, Verlander and Cole, well, that's the kind of stuff, not exactly the same, but that's kind of what the White Sox are throwing at you a little bit. I mean, they're throwing some really talented pitchers at you, but, you know, they still have to get through the bats. And it used to be good pitching could just shut down good hitting. That's just not, I just don't think that's the way it is necessarily anymore in baseball. Just too many hitters for the Astros. And the Astros have better plate discipline. They take more pitches. The Astros know the strike zone better than just about any team in the league. That's one of the differences that you have when you face the Astros.
Well, the White Sox got a hell of a lineup as well. I mean, that's a hell of a lineup as well. So it ain't going to be easy. But I'll tell you this.
What's the Astros magic number?
When they face Tampa, look to Urquidy. The last time Urquidy faced Tampa, 7 shutout innings. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. So, you know, I know Urquidy is iffy as far as a start goes, but it depends on who. Well, you won't play Tampa no matter what until the ALCS. So, but when it gets to there, remember Jose. Remember this name, Lance. Jose Urquidy.
I'm gonna remember it.
Okay.
Astros magic number. Do you know it?
4.
That's correct.
Yeah.
To clinch the AL West division title.
Yeah, but that's foregone conclusion. They got an 8-game lead on both Seattle and the A's. That's over.
By the way,
that's done.
Martin Maldonado called. He said, "Put some respect on his name. 2 home runs in 2 nights. You,
back
oh yeah,
to back.
He's not 12. He can't hit. Yeah,
not 12. He can't
he's
hit.
Waking
he's hitting
up.
177.
That, it's,
tell
he
him,
just
tell him
up his
to go.
Yeah, he
bed.
Only hits home runs.
He
yeah.
He woke it up with a nice lullaby,
that's
or
right.
The opposite of a lullaby, and said, "All right, baby, it's time to wake up. We're gonna go to work now. It's postseason.
He's he's red hot right now.
Oh, he is. He's one of the hottest hitters on the team. There's
Did
no
Brad
question.
Brad Ausmus, when he was hitting his, you know, OPS, was he hitting home runs? No. This Martin Maldonado, yes, he's that rare guy who can give you a 600 OPS, but
600. I wish it was 600 OPS.
But is it
less.
Around there?
Yeah, it's less. It's I like being around it.
Is it around 600 right now?
It's not.
You quite better there. Recheck it after the home runs.
It's not quite there yet.
You better recheck it.
713-780-3776.
Oh, 595. That's what I'm saying. He likes being around 600 OPS.
Aqueduct Plumbing Company. I like being around these people.
Guess who came out to the house yesterday?
Aqueduct Plumbing?
Yeah. So my wife said yesterday she had a clogged drain. She goes, "Who do I call? And I'm like, I was busy getting my cast cut off. I'm like, Aqueduct Plumbing, of course. So I sent her the number.
Way to listen to the show.
She called and she said, somebody's going to answer. It's probably going to be Mary. Just tell them you're Lance's wife that, you know, from the radio show. Just because she just might get a kick out of it. She's like, she says she doesn't know who you are. I'm like, what? I don't care. Just get them to come out. I don't care. They came out. Then somebody called back. She's like, I'm so embarrassed. That was embarrassing. She's texting me. And then they ended up calling back like, yeah, we can be out there in a couple of hours. And they got to our house. They were there for, the guy was there for about 20 minutes, got it taken care of. And see, that's the key though, John. It's a big job, like you got a leak under your, or a leak going on under your foundation, or you need repiping done, the one day repipe, or you want a brand new tankless water heater because your water heater's out. Or maybe it's just something like a clogged drain or a leaky faucet.
Yep.
We got a guy for you now. And
we
it's
got a guy.
Aqueduct Plumbing.
I got a guy. It's Billy and Mary and Michelle. They don't know Lance. That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, apparently.
I got a guy. 281-488-6238. It's the home of the one-day repipe. They're at your display. We're at Lance's disposal yesterday. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com or go to thebenchplumbing.com. Thebenchplumbing.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next-day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.